This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Come on in. Sit on down. It's time for another episode of the Tips for Truthers. But this time, we're going to mix it up. We're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to do this one live. I do have more tips lined up for you guys. I have like a list that I refer to do these shows. And usually Friday, today, is the day that I would upload these during the daytime. But I've been busy with family stuff. I've had other things I've had to kind of figure out today. I'm in the middle of trying to find a car and dealing with finances and loans. It's just a bit of one of those days. You know how it goes, life, in a way. So I couldn't actually do much work today. I managed to squeeze in a bit of work to read for the audiobook, but I couldn't do my usual Tits for Truthers, which I would record on a Friday morning. So it's the evening now. Everything's settled. The kids are asleep, and it's 10:30 in the evening for me, and I've got maybe an hour and a half where I can sit with you guys and just have a live show. And I thought, why don't I just do a live Tips for Truthers? Where I can kind of do my own thing, say what I need to say, but give it back to you guys as well. And hopefully maybe you can kind of maybe give your own tips thrown in there, or maybe ask advice on how to deal with family and friends. Maybe I can just relay any tips I've picked up along the way that helped me kind of navigate being a conspiracy theorist in today's age. And the landscape has changed drastically over the past decade since I became a conspiracy theorist, when I kind of fell into the warrens, to the deep, deep darkness of the pits, you know, in like 2012-14 period, when I kind of slipped in and started sliding down, you know, culminating with being saved in 2014 and coming to Christ, of course. But, you know, it was a different time then. And the truth of the world has come a long way. That's a good way to describe it. It's come a long way. And I feel like the issues we're dealing with today are pretty intense compared to then. Then it was all ideas. They're going to be doing this soon to us. They're going to start implementing these controls, or they're going to start trying to push these agendas on us. And it's kind of, they're going to try. It was all like a future thing then. It's like, there's this evil cabal, the secret societies all working together, who all worship Lucifer and Satan, and are out there corralling humanity down this dark path where they're going to control us in a totalitarian / gilded cage method, where we are all a part of a new world order under a new world religion, one world currency, one world government, no borders, all being led by the Antichrist type stuff, you know. And it's kind of, it was all like a future nebulous idea then, and we kind of had a rough idea of what they're going to do, you know, to get there. And I feel like over the past like decade and a half, they've been implementing all of those things, and a lot of the things we were saying then have kind of come true. And I feel like we're in the thick of it now. I think things have changed, you know, and it's no longer like a far off, maybe 2040 or 2030 type concept. It's like, oh no, they're doing it now. Like they're this end game for them now. They're pushing all their agendas forward now. So I think it's a lot easier today to convince your loved ones, friends and family that the world is completely and totally messed up. I think it's not a stretch anymore to pull some examples up to prove to them, like, are you going to listen now? You know, do you think maybe something weird's going on now? And there'll always be those stubborn, hard-headed people who go, no, this is just what humans do naturally with no hidden hand control methods whatsoever. This is all just explained by people and being stupid, you know. There's no evil conspiracy, and it's kind of, okay. Whatever. So what you say to those people if you're still thinking like that after seeing how the world's kind of running. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think they're kind of showing their hand today. I think they're brazenly showing how satanically inclined they are through all their owned media. I think the way they're pushing their own ideologies onto our children is a huge tell in the schools and in the media, in the books and everywhere else. I think the massive moves we've seen recently, especially after the 2020 event, you know, with the thing that I'm not allowed to mention just because it hits all the algorithms and censors you immediately, but that big event that changed the whole world forever, you know. We're still reeling after that fact, but I think that was a huge eye-opener for many people. I think they realized, oh, wow, our governments aren't stupid or inept. They're evil. I think people realized that then, and it's kind of, they showed you. Yeah, okay. We're in control is what they were basically flexing there. It's like, we can shut you down and lock you down whenever we want. We will force you to do things that you don't want to do, or we'll take everything away from you. It was a threat. 2020 was a threat. And they flexed a little bit of their abilities then. And some people just shut down, locked it down, blinders on, and just said, you know, suppress me harder, daddy. Like, they don't want anything to, like, yes, I'm going to capitulate and go along with anything and everything you say and do. Just don't take my nice things away. I think a lot of people did that. And then, but I think like a good 70% of people were like, hang on, I trusted you. I thought you were for the people, by the people. I thought you were elected by me to work for me and to do what's best in our interest and spend our tax money in ways that we thought were conducive to fixing the potholes on the road. I didn't realize it was to you to fund full totalitarian control over us while funding foreign countries and their war efforts while also importing migrants to replace us. I didn't realize it was all that while at the same time killing us in some kind of weird genocidal long con terminology through fear of death from the flu. You know, it's kind of, I didn't think, like, I think people were kind of snapped open in that time period. So again, the landscape's changed. It's not what it used to be. And I think 2020 brought a flood of newly awakened people of all generations, because no one was left untouched by that event, you know, and it's changed things. And I think it might be a little bit easier now to convince people that, yeah, everything's totally messed up. It is. It is easier. But it still has its challenges, and I still hear people telling me the stories, you know, of where they've got problems trying to get their spouse or their children or their parents or their brothers or sisters or friends to kind of listen to them or take them seriously and not consider them like the crazy black sheep of the family or something like that. And I've also heard good stories. It's like they didn't believe me at first, but as the years have gone on, they've kind of opened up to it now, and now they're all on board. I've heard that story too quite a few times, which is nice. But there are still people out there struggling. And I think a lot of people are still struggling because not everybody is an articulate word sleuth who can formulate concepts and ideas so succinctly for people to grasp and understand easily. And when we're talking about something as vast and complex as this conspiracy, the total conspiracy that engulfs every single facet of our lives, yeah, it's difficult to explain to people clearly without sounding crazy or convoluted or over the top, or it's not easy. And I don't expect many people to be able to do it and to formulate the ideas in a cohesive manner that's going to convince anybody overnight. And I'm hoping my channel can help people find ways of doing that. And the tips of truth is really is a means to give people the tools to get the message out effectively without completely nuking their entire social life while they're at it, which unfortunately has probably come maybe 5 to 10 years too late for many of us, because when, you know, when I first woke up, I was out there trying to convince anybody and everybody of all these things, and this is where I learned my lessons. It was bad. So Ryan Kerr sent me a message saying Rex Bear of Leak Project wants to talk to you. Okay, Ryan, well, I have no idea who that is or what that is, and that's something I'm going to have to look into after this show, but thanks for letting me know, and thanks for the super chat as well. I appreciate it. But at the same time, it's kind of like, people don't know how to tell their loved ones and family, and I want to help them do that. That's basically what this whole Tips for Truth is. That's the gist of what I'm trying to say here. And I learned these lessons along the way because I did the same thing. I went out there and
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell, fast, to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I naively and foolishly thought people are going to want to hear this. And they don't want to hear it. That's the hard. That's what you realize. That's the truth. Oh, people don't want to know. They don't want to know. And some people, unfortunately, are never going to accept it or realize or know because they're too invested in the lie. That's one reason. Or the lie and the control is too much. It's too much for some people to handle. It's enough to make them suicidal or insane or crazy or depressed just thinking about it as a reality. And I'm not saying that's an excuse not to know. It isn't really. I would say, yeah, it's sad and it's depressing and it's miserable, but get to grips with it, man. That's reality. You know, I take however long you need to process it, but you need to process these things. But I realize even though I deep down have that attitude, I still have to come at it with some tact. And so do you. We have to have tact when trying to convey these messages to people. And what works for some doesn't work for others. Everybody's different. Everybody has their own methods. Everybody has their own way of talking to people. And I think that's where it kind of comes into, well, maybe the way I say it isn't good enough for someone out there. But maybe there's a character out there in the conspiracy realm that just speaks to people or the sensibilities better than I can. You know, maybe not everyone wants to hear some northern British guy telling them the truth. You know, maybe they need to listen to a more southern draw American instead or something. Or maybe they need a more cosmopolitan type. I don't know what people need. Maybe people like it when someone has a Polish accent. I have no idea what you need to listen and get the truth. But there are many characters out there this day and age who are getting the message out. And that's great, you know. And my channel, again, I do want to kind of have as a place where I can point people to other people and say, well, maybe if you don't like the way I'm saying it, maybe watch this show or this video by this person who I think has a cool way of saying it, you know. And I try and foster and support people who have charisma and cool ways of talking and spreading the message. We're all for Christ and all for the truth, especially, you know. And I think we have a nice community going, you know. But there you go. There's a bit of an opening rant for you guys for whatever it's worth, you know. What's that? That's 10 minutes in already. These usual Tips of Truth has gone for about 20 minutes or so I suppose I'm already off to a good start doing this live. So guys in the chat, what do you have to say about this? Let's quickly just pop in Peter Hamlet. Nice thumbnail. I like this one. I quickly just whipped it together very last minute. Yeah, I have fun with my thumbnails, I'll tell you that right now. I hope you people like this one too. I thought it was funny. I've actually done this one already. I think last time, the woman was saying jet fuel can't melt steel beams, and the son was saying, why you like this? I think, yeah, that was a good one too. Love and blessings in abundance from the UK, brother, says Mark Smith. Well, thanks for being here, Mark. It's late for us, isn't it? Thanks for staying up late to listen to me. I went through a very trippy mental health crisis a few months ago and finally found out I've been surrounded by narcissistic people my entire life. Hard to move forward now, says Michael Carson. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, narcissism is a huge problem. It's endemic of our current age, I would say. Narcissism seems to be the biggest issue for our culture and our society in the West, especially. It seems like we're all suffering from a serious epidemic, shall we say, you know, of narcissistic behavior and attitudes. And more than ever against basically evil people who want to hurt us, because we're a threat to their supply, whatever that may be. I feel like I've dealt with a lot of narcissists over the past 10 years. I feel like it's ramping up a lot more over the past 5 years, maybe 3 years. And I think that's just the way the world's going. I think people are just being forced to behave like that today. I feel like if they're not narcissistic, they fall behind. And society's kind of geared towards rewarding that kind of behavior. I mean, just look at the social media aspect of reality and the 15 minutes of fame-seeking culture. And the dopamine hit reward systems that all of these apps and platforms have. People are pushed to be self-centered, narcissistic, and out for themselves and prideful, because that's what the system will reward and put out in front of people and convince them through feedback loops that that's the right behavior to have. Look how much nice stuff you have now. And yeah, it's a shame because a lot of people are buying into it. I feel like a lot of younger generations are seeing through that kind of nonsense and are kind of like, yeah, man, I don't want to be evil or a psychopath or narcissistic. I'm not interested in that kind of stuff. I'm just going to be me, you know, and do my own thing. I'm kind of seeing that attitude from the very new generations coming into the teenage years and the early 20s now, which is good to see. I'm happy to see that. But I think specifically, like, maybe my generation, I'm a late millennial, I think. I was born in the 90s. I feel like the early millennials, my generation and above, we have a serious narcissism issue. We definitely do. And I think the generations below us, they have their own problems. God help them. They have their own issues. I'd say their issues are with nihilism, depression, future anxiety, housing market crashes, monetary crashes. You know, they've got the whole weight of the system on them, and a very bleak future when it comes to things like owning homes and having stable income and all that type. They have like a whole other problem. I'm looking at another generation where we just kind of missed, or we're seeing that begin, that crumble begin, but we were already in a position where we could kind of do what we can do, you know. We're lucky that we still have like boomer parents and above who kind of still have equity and property that can be passed down. And it's like, that's, I don't know how much equity and property I'm going to have to give to my kids anymore, you know. And it's kind of, I think it's different now. I think things are changing and that support system's kind of collapsed. And there's been a collapse of the classes and the middle classes as well, to the point where there is no ladder anymore to succeed and we're all just collectively poor now. I feel sorry for the younger generations who really have had all that taken away from them. But yeah, I think narcissism, back to the narcissism point, I think that's what they have to deal with. But our generation is dealing with like a self-centeredness problem, an inability to think bigger than our own needs and our own desires. And I feel like our generations above really were given so much that it's kind of spoiled them in a way. And it's caused this. And obviously as we age, I feel like a fear of losing control is kind of gripping a lot of older millennials and millennials now. And we're no longer cool. So I think that's affecting the psychology of a lot of people who kind of weren't raised to have these strong traditional moral values of self-worth. And they rely on the opinions of strangers to develop that self-worth through social media. I feel like there's like a bit of a psychological depression, psychopathic, narcissistic flare-up happening recently of cope, which is affecting people in a big way. And of course, our generation also pushed that absolute social justice nonsense, that BS that kind of pervaded all the institutions. That's our generation's fault, you know. Looking for a fight where there was not, where fights weren't necessary, being useful idiots for agendas we weren't smart enough to realize were being at play. And that's not all of us. I'm sure you guys here aren't those people, you know, but I'm talking collectively just about broad generations here. But yeah, I'm sorry, Michael, that you had to deal with being surrounded with narcissists. There's a lot of narcissistic abuse channels out there now, how to deal with narcissism and how to deal with narcissists. There's a big underground culture about that. And I'm sure you can find a huge support network online just going into those channels and listening.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank. leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Listening, I know I've had to listen to quite a few of those videos over my years, and they've really helped me kind of realize and come to grips with just how the narcissist thinks. And it's scary. It's scary. Some people are scary, man. And it's not the same as psychopathy. I feel like narcissists are more victims of their own circumstances. I feel like psychopaths are truly something else. They're like, they're monsters. They're demons. They don't even care. You know, there's something else going on there with psychopathy. I feel like narcissism is something you can catch, and I think you can be cured of it too. You know, I think you, if you really get your wits about you and you do the work, I think a narcissist can come around to being a good person again, or something close to good in this reality. So yeah, wake up or else. Love the live. Thanks for being here, man. It's good to see you. I know you've been doing your own lives recently as well, knocking out the ballpark, and you've been having your own issues along the way. You are the man, of course, John Kerwin, who wrote the book, The Conspiracy Theorist Survival Guide. So this is very much someone who is a truther tipper of reputable form. So thanks for being here, John. I appreciate it. If you haven't already, guys, check out Wake Up or Else, and make sure to get a copy of his book, The Conspiracy Theorist Survival Guide. He was kind enough to send me an audiobook code through Spotify, so I think you can get yourself the same audiobook on Spotify if you want to. And it looks just like this. I'll share the screen with you there. Let me just quickly sort this out. Yeah, so The Conspiracy Theorist Survival Guide by John Kerwin. He runs a YouTube channel, Wake Up or Else PMA, so go and check him out. But yeah, it's a good listen. And he covers loads of fun things on there, and very much akin to what I discuss here in the Tips for Truthers. But I feel like John's got a bit more of he's not as polite as I am, and that might be a good thing, because you know, it really lays into the normies, as he calls them, in ways, you know, I'm too British to do such a thing. But he isn't afraid to say it how it is, you know, and he talks about a lot of things, why truthers are willing to lose everything. What to do next, you know, the demographics of the truther community, the truther's correct response to tyranny, the conflict is inevitable, how normies attack, observations about ultimatums. It's all there. It's really good stuff, you know, so go check out this if you haven't already. But yeah, good to see you, John. Thanks for being here. Most enjoy the shell, says Stephen. That's true. You don't know Leaked Project? He's the OG, OG, OG conspiracy theorist. No, I don't know Leaked Project. I'm sorry. I don't know everybody. I don't know everything. I'm a limited human being with limited capacity and resources and attention spans, unfortunately. But if he wants to talk to me, great. I'll do my research. I'll look into the guy and I'll see what's going on. Back in my day, the OG, OGs who I was listening to was people like Zendrius, KJ Osborne, Nicholson 1968, Richie from Boston he's cropped back up lately, hasn't he? All those type of people who I was listening to a long time ago. There's a few others, a few people who have disappeared as well, but that one is not one I used to listen to. Project Leak and Rexper should be your mentor and role model in your commencement speech, says Ryan Kerr. What? I feel like you're putting this guy on a pedestal here, and why would I give him any mention? I don't know who this guy is. Okay, let's move on from that. But yeah, by the way, I've purchased a book 10 times for friends and family. The Nephilim Look Like Clowns? Really? You bought 10 copies of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns? That's impressive. Are you sure you're not thinking of the other one? The one written by somebody else, who I've endorsed on my channel about Jesus Christ and where we are in the biblical timeline? Are you thinking about that one instead? I think you are. So I'm not sure what my wife's saying there. I feel like she might be offended by some of the things I just said. I don't know. What am I missing here? I can't stand narcissists. I'd rather be alone than deal with those types of people. I'd rather be homeless and broke than be like them, says Jeff Nugent. Well, yeah, I don't think the thing is, I don't think even think narcissists know that they're narcissists in many ways. I really don't. They don't see it like that. They're too in it to realize that they're doing anything wrong. That's kind of just another sad reality of the way people are these days, very unaware of themselves. I had trouble explaining Zionism to a normie the other day, says Jason, because he was, well, as many other Christians, conflate the Hebrews from the Bible with the deprived Jews of today. Yeah, that's, I think a lot of people do suffer to make the distinction there, absolutely. I'm not sure how much we can talk about that here on YouTube, but yeah, I do know what you're talking about. I'm good with your approach, Paul, but things I sided his approach today. I don't know what I did. What did I do? I've clearly upset my wife. I don't know what I've done, but I'm going to have to find out after the show, aren't I? Rex Bear is an OG man. You need to talk to him. Okay, well, if he wants to talk with me, yeah, he can send me an email at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and we can arrange something, absolutely. People don't want the truth. They want what makes them happy, says Miles. Well, you know a thing or two about that, Miles. You're out there fighting people all the time, aren't you? And I'm sure you've had a lot of pushback. There is no hope like there used to be, says Jason. Well, I don't know about that. You know, I'm optimistic as much as I can be. It seems like the new generation is taking follow from the great generation, like a cyclical loop. No trust, growing up in a bad economy, seeing parents struggling. Yeah, I guess so. You know what, there's that famous saying, you know, hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times make weak men. Weak men make bad times. Bad times make strong men. It's a cycle, yeah. And I feel like we're coming full circle right now. That's for sure. Thanks very much, Paul. That helped me a lot, says Michael. I appreciate it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Wake up or else community loves the understanding conspiracy. Yeah. We're all one big happy family here, aren't we? Let me just catch up with the chat here. The sigh was the movie thing today. Yeah. I guess I'll share this story with people. Why not? My wife was telling me that my son had seen a trailer for a movie or something like that on a phone. And it's for one that just got released called Elio. Something like that. And I looked at her and said, Elio? And she's like, why, what? What's wrong now? Basically, like, why have you got that look on your face? What's wrong with Elio? And I just said, oh, nothing, you know, whatever. And I just left it. Then, eventually, you know, she's like, well, now I gotta know. I said, okay, well, in the Book of Enoch, the children's children of the Nephilim, and it goes in order, from the Nephilim to the Nephil, to the Eliud, to the Elio. So Elio is literally a name or title of offspring of Nephilim. that's all I thought. And she was like, everything's ruined. I get it, you know, but that's not, whatever. It's a silly little trivial side point, but yeah, it's tough. I mean, people don't want to hear it, my wife included. It's the way it is, which is why you've got to pick your battles, and that's not really a battle or a hill worth dying on, that's for sure. I hear you, Paul. I'm a narcissist magnet. I've had to deal with so many of them, says Jeff. It seems that way, doesn't it? They're attracted to certain people. Sometimes they're wrong, though. I think a lot of people can assume, oh, that's an easy target. But when they realize you're not, they very quickly move on and they'll leave you alone. I found kind of the best tactic to deal with narcissists, and I learned this through the workplace when I was working at Aldi as a supermarket manager. It's kind of because I'm a nice guy. And I'm quite open, you know, and I'm smiley and everything. No, I am a target for a lot of people who are in that industry who are looking to get ahead and step on people, you know, and they think like, well, Paul's weak because he's too nice. You know, that's instantly what they kind of think. So I get attacked a lot by them. they go at you, you know. Well, they used to, you know, I don't work for that company anymore. And it's kind of, I feel like they make that mistake of thinking weakness is kindness, like kindness is weakness type of thing. And I found the best tactic is as soon as someone even gives a hint of that type of attitude towards you, like goes off and tells your boss on something or tries to throw you under the bus for something or make something up about you or make you look bad in some way, you just go straight to them and say, no, absolutely not. I don't know who you think you are, but I'm not the person you think I am. You do not get to talk to me like that. You are not my boss. Lay it down. Lay the law down straight away. Do not give them the foothold to even think for a second that they can talk to you like that. Okay? And then they get the message quickly. They move on. They go find someone else they can step on. That's basically what happens. Like, and it works every time. And I'm not saying you're completely out of their crosshairs necessarily. You'll be on their radar then because they'll know, like, okay, there's a bit of a threat over there. But it's a lot better than being abused by them, believe me. And they're willing just to let it go if nothing got started. Do you get what I mean? But once it gets going and you give them some supply, you're a source for them then, and they know they can get you. They can break you, so they'll push you because they said, well, you know that I can get something out of them eventually, so I'm just gonna throw a target now. But if you instantly say no, I'm not the guy, they'll go okay, and they'll move on. You know, that's just something I've learned. Take that tip for what it is. I don't know if it's a tip for truthers or just a tip for navigating the world today with people, but that's definitely something I've picked up. Like, dude, don't give them. Just think about narcissists, they're weak at the same time. They give them that front that they're all strong and dangerous and everything, but really they're not the cowards. And it's kind of, they want to prey on weak people because they are themselves weak. You know, that's the issue. So yeah. There you go. Way to ruin it, Paul. Yeah, Stephen, I got a habit of ruining things. It's what I do. I left it for like 30 seconds before I told her, yeah, I couldn't leave it. Pearl, good to see you. Pepe Sylvia, good to be here. The pizza ain't bad. Elio's pizza, I don't know it. Fruit from a Poisonous Tree by Mel Stamper is a fantastic book for Americans wanting to understand the straw man and the birth certificate fraud, says Wade Master. Yeah, I don't know why you're throwing that in there randomly right now, but yeah, that's a deep rabbit hole for people to go into. You are not your paper self, that's for sure. My wife has retracted a message there, so I'm thinking some Holy Spirit backspacing just took place. I don't know what exactly. I'm sure I'll find out afterwards. What happens to me a lot, been dealing with hundreds of people a day for 25 years, I'm a master at shutting them people down. Yeah, I don't know. They're not saying everyone, they're always a narcissist, but it's kind of just a good rule of thumb for anybody who thinks they can take advantage of you. Just make it clear immediately that no. Like, just look at them and say, I know what you are. I know who you are and what you are, and you want to stay away. They don't want to be exposed. So it's not like, you don't threaten to like saying like, don't go after them, because then you're in a war with a narcissist and that can get nasty. But make it clear, it's kind of like, you mess with me, you get exposed, you know? And it's kind of just the very threat of that, the risk of them being exposed for what they are, it means you're too risky, so they'll move on and leave you alone. Often they'll be nice to you as well. It's very odd. It's kind of like they start giving you respect in some way. Honestly, I've had that. It's weird. It's really weird. It happens. But again, don't think they're your friend just because they show you some respect either. No way. No chance. It's just the way it is. What's your sign, Paul? I wondered when you described your early days arguing. Plus, I found you through Longo. What's my sign? You mean my birth sign? I'm a Cancer. I am a Cancer through and through. And, you know, I don't really hold much weight to that kind of thing anyway, because I'm not into divination through the stars or anything like that. I don't look at my horoscopes and think, yep, yeah, that's me today. That's what's going to happen. And I don't believe in any of that kind of stuff. But you look at the description of a typical Cancer's personality, and you know what? I mean, my wife laughs about it. It is quite literally me. And it's quite scary how much, and I don't know what's going on there. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe the whole astrological thing, and maybe there's something behind God's original design and how this works, but I don't know. But there's definitely something there. But I'm not into divining my future through the stars. I don't hold any weight to that, to be honest. A typical Cancer, says my wife. That's exactly what a Cancer would say. Exactly right, Paul. They're projecting, says the favourite uncle. Yeah. And yet it is you. Mess with me, I'll smack the ketchup off that hot dog, says Mad Pax. Uh-oh, a cancer. Oh, no, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Am I like... Are our signs not compatible? Yeah, I've heard that quite a lot. The thing is, I do think there's something about the whole personality types when it comes to star signs. There does really seem to be a correlation there that's really uncanny. I know people say, oh, well, that could read into anybody, but it's kind of like, no, I've seen it happen. It's like some of these descriptions are exactly like the people I know. And it's weird. It's weird, isn't it? I don't know. It's kind of like maybe we are just whimmed to wherever the stars were when we were born to how we're going to be as a person. And maybe that comes a part of how God lovingly and fearfully made us, you know, based on these things. And maybe we are all born at a specific time for a reason to have a specific personality, because that's what he needs in the world at that time, based on when the stars are aligned by his model. Maybe. I don't know. There's something weird going on there. But again, I'm not an astrologist. I don't follow that stuff. I'm not interested in that stuff. I don't hold any weight to it. I think we are the masters of our own fate in terms of free will given to us by God. And I think a lot of those things could be considered a curse if you believe that that's what's going to happen to you today because your horoscope diviner told you that. Then you're living by their diktats. They have become your god in a sense, and they've taken away your free will, and you could make it happen because you believe in their magic in a sense. And I'm not for that. I don't think that's a good idea personally, you know. You're hitting the nail on the head, Paul. This is why I dig your work, says Jeff. Yeah, well, thank you. I do try. So if anyone's got any questions they want to ask me about, you know, if or need any advice on anything, you've got me here for another half an hour or so. So let me know, guys, if you've got any questions or anything at all. Bring it up, and this is your chance. Let's keep it on the theme of like tips for truthers, you know. Are there any harsh lessons you've learned along the way? Or do you have any questions for me about some of the things I've learned or experiences I've had or how I've talked to my family or anything at all? Here's your chance. I'm a Gemini schizo, says Spirit Walker. Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure you're a nice person, really. Danny L says, I don't think you can predict your future through the...
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Star sign, but I do believe we have certain personality traits, including compatibility. I know what you mean. There does seem to be a lot of that actually pans out as true in many ways. My wife's a Taurus, and she is a very typical Taurus, and you read the description of what a Taurus is, it is her, like it manifests in the flesh. And we actually jive really well, because it turns out we're compatible on a star. I didn't know any of this until I was already married to the woman, you know, but it turns out we're actually very compatible with each other in many ways, and it's odd, very odd. And it works. it's just strange, you know. This is uncanny. That's a good word for it. Cancers are apparently secretive. I don't know if I hold any secrets. I'm more of a wear my heart on my sleeve type of cancer, if you want to go by that label. What's this? Oh, Mad Pax has left super chat. Much love, brother. Thanks, Mad Pax. I appreciate that. That's going to go into the car fund. Any excess money I get coming in lately, it's just getting saved to go towards the family car. And we really don't want to finance. We don't want to get locked into a high interest rate loan. It's just not something we want to do. But at the same time, we don't want to buy a cheap piece of crap that's going to blow out on us in a year and waste thousands of pounds on that. You know, we want to get somewhere in the middle of quality, practicality for a family of four, a price about medium, low range, but not too high. We're trying to find the balance between deposit and finance. It's just an absolute mess, and there's too much choice as well, and it's overwhelming and stressful. It's like a stress I don't want to have or have to deal with, but it's one of those. But I appreciate the help anyway. Thank you. Hi, Paul. I recently found your channel in searching the Little Caesar eschatology. Have you found a way to introduce the concept without triggering people in their biases and cognitive dissonance? Well, James, no. I don't think there is. Not that one. Not that topic. I'm sure there are people in the chat who could tell you who've been fighting this for a long time with people. I suppose never don't come at people. Well, when you try to tell people anything, I guess I can give you rough advice on how people take in new information. People don't buy products. They buy the person selling the products. You should always remember that. It's a basic tip of sales in general. And I'm not saying we're here to make money, like sell the truth, make money off the truth. Sell. I'm talking about if you want to convince somebody to buy into an idea, it's not necessarily how good the idea is that they care about or whether it's even true. They want to know about you, the person telling them the idea. How's this person? How do they come across? Is me believing in this going to make me a better or worse person? And they'll make that judgment based on how you behave and how you are as a person, as somebody who believes that type of thing. That's how people think. They don't know they're doing it. It's completely subconscious. They're not thinking like that. Like I just said, they're not having those thoughts. It's deep within. It's like a human nature thing. If you can come across as a well-presented, well-rounded, calm, cool, happy, fun, people like humor, you know, person, and then you say, hey, have you heard about this one? What do you think about this concept? And you kind of lay it out as a loose, you know, people believe this. I've heard this idea before. Have you heard about this idea before? There are people out there who think that maybe Christ has already returned. I know it sounds nuts, doesn't it? Like when you actually listen to these guys, there's a lot more to it than first rings true to the ear. You know, when you hear it, you're thinking there's no way we'd know, right? Then you actually, when you look into the conspiracy aspect, it's, would we know? And there are many things and evidences to say, actually, maybe we wouldn't. Maybe we could be those people who lived during that time, Revelation 20, where Satan's released and gathers an army, and it's known as a little season. And you have to ask yourself, how would Satan convince people to go make war with Jesus of all people? Well, the people must not know that that's what they're doing. So something's going on, which means people are deceived. And it does say he deceives all the nations. How do we know we're not the nations currently being deceived? And so you see how I did? You ask these questions and you ask the questions they're already going to ask and answer them, but don't go too far. Stop there. Leave them with enough to go away with, start thinking for themselves and looking for answers. But unfortunately, they're going to probably get angry at first, if they're hot, especially if they're already swimming deep in the dispensationalist rapture theology type stuff, you know, and they're already in that futurist eschatological worldview. It's all yet to come and tribulations to come upon us. And you have to bear in mind, like, the church has been telling them that, all the pastors have been telling them that, their parents have been telling them that, all the friends believe that that's what's happening. Even all the favorite end times ministries online are telling them that all the time. Even mainstream Christianity itself in all the churches and at every level are awaiting his second coming, you know, and all those other crazy fringe denominations out there have just been proven as Gnostic or blasphemy years ago, and no, that's just not the truth. Everyone would know. The history doesn't say that's the case, you know, and they're going to have all these cognitive biases just flaring up instantly. And that's just the process. That's actually the process. I kind of went through it, but I was never really raised in a church environment, so it was easy for me to accept these things more readily because I don't have that dogmatic foundation in, well, that's how my family's always believed it type of stuff. I didn't have any of those ties. You know, I heard the idea and I went out there to see if it had weight and held up to the word, and it did. So I'm okay with it, you know. But so I understand a lot of people aren't. And even I, as somebody who wasn't that attached, went through a process. You know, I went through it can't be. No. You know, and it took me a while of just like letting it sink in, thinking it out. Thinking about all the things I've been researching over the years in the conspiracy realm and going, actually, this makes sense now. But it can't be, right? Surely we'd, you know, then it took time to sink in, and it took an internal struggle for a little bit. I think it took less time for me than most because of, like I said, my differences. But I know from experience, because I've been out there on the front lines doing this for like a year, trying to tell people get so angry first. And they come back months later with a message saying, I didn't want to believe this at first, Paul, but I'm in now. It took time, it took months. You know, it's like, I can't find anything that actually refutes this. And after watching the debunkers, I've noticed they're not actually hitting any of your points at all and they're strawmanning you. This holds weight. Because it is what the Bible says and what the red words of Christ are telling you. And it's hard to argue with Jesus, you know? And it's like, hey, but what about human history? What about the church fathers? What about just referring back to the world for their answers and their perspective all the time? And if you just get down to brass tacks, just keep it simple. Christ said he was coming in his time to those people around him. Either he did or he didn't. I don't want to think him a liar, so I'm going to assume he did, which means everything else is in question. And I have enough faith to go with that. Okay, and I'm okay with it. I can let the world history go. I already know through the conspiratorial stuff that I've been lied to about a lot of things. Okay? It's easy enough to accept this when you've been a conspiracy theorist for a long time too. That helps. If you've just been swimming in church doctrine only and have never even considered conspiratorial stuff, then it's going to be way harder for them to contextualize this information. Because not only are they going to be Christians, but they're also going to believe what the world tells them about history too. There's a conflict already happening in their mind and they don't realize it, you know. And it's a battle, it's a struggle. I would say, if you're going to tell people about this, expect a fight first and just give it time. Plant some seeds, let it germinate, go away. Okay? These seeds are pretty hardy. They don't even need much water. They will grow. Once they're in, they take root. That's it. It ain't going away in their mind. It'll always be at the back of their mind from now on, okay? And more evidences will just become apparent as time goes on. That's what I found with that one. So don't worry too much about it. Go easy on yourself. It's good enough that you just brought it to their attention. Believe me. Okay, yeah, that's. I hope that helps. I hope that gives you something. Because that's kind of what I've learned through boots on the ground experience with this. Anthony Harris says, it's true insight. That's what brothers, people that react that way. There's simply no way for them to have known unless you told them, and that bothers them. Yeah, it's a growing idea and concept, isn't it? And we haven't got, the problem is with the little season stuff, community and stuff, we haven't got everything figured out. There's stuff we don't know, but there are things we do know, which are the deal breakers, you know, like, did Christ mean what he meant when he said these things? We have to say yes if we want to say we believe in him and we think he is the truth, the way, and the life. We can't cognitively dissonancy try and say, well, no, but history tells me it was 2,000 years ago and he hasn't returned. So he must have been talking about a future generation. And then you start adding these things on to try and make it work with the world story, you know, and it's kind of an, or just believe Christ at his word and make every other man a liar. And it makes sense all of a sudden. And then look with your eyes at the state of the world. And you can see we are squatting in the remains of an amazing kingdom that was on this earth at some point. And a lot of it has melted. Okay. Yeah, just kind of, tribulation happened, right? Destruction has come upon the earth. A reset happened and a kingdom was established. And we are living in the back end takeover version of that kingdom. Because this kingdom, the earthly one, was never meant to be permanent. Well, it is. The heavens and earth shall never pass away. But there will be a renewing, a new heavens and earth where everything is made perfect again after all of this. But there's this short time where the devil is released to do his thing, and it's undeniable. Like, and it's kind of, someone has to live during that time, and the evidence is out there with our eyes to see. And if we believe the words of Jesus, he was making it clear. It's always come back to that point. It's always come back to that point. And is there any other argument people have? It's kind of, do you believe Jesus or not? And it sounds harsh because they're like, I am a Christian. And they'll puff their chest out saying, I've been a pastor for 40 years. Like, I'm more Christian than you. I'm more saved than you. It comes back to that Pharisee, Sadducee attitude of like, holier than thou. It's kind of, who are you to tell me I'm not a Christian? I love Jesus. And it's kind of, I'm not doubting that. But you need to take him at his word then. You know, it's kind of, they don't like being told that they haven't been taking Jesus at his word. And it's offensive. Can you imagine what that sounds like to these people? Like, it sounds ridiculously offensive, and I can get it. You have to have empathy for them, like, from their perspective. Their pride is blinding them. You know, it's kind of, they don't want to think that they've got Jesus wrong. Do you get what I'm saying? That's like, the very identity revolves around that they are a good Christian. Like, and they're saved. I'm not saying they're not. I'm not saying they have, that salvation's an issue here, but I feel like they think that's what's going on, you know? And it's kind of, look, we all make mistakes. We're all subject to the world right now. We're all under it. We're all in this little season together, you know? It's kind of, yeah, there's lies everywhere and we're just figuring it out. Don't be so hard on yourself. As long as you love Jesus, you're cool, you're covered. But consider this as a possibility. Like, why wouldn't you? What have you got to lose by considering this as a possibility, at least? And I think, it's, again, a lot of people are tied up in their identity with these things, with eschatologies, rather than just simply believing in Jesus alone, and everything else is up for, let's figure it out, you know? I don't know. That's all I can say. Our Melted Reality is a great channel. Mind-altering research that can make you feel sick in an hour. I'll look into that. Our Melted Reality. I'll look into that one, Douglas. Thanks for the tip. Do you believe everything written in a book is true? Okay, what about textbooks? Says Alison. I found that those who already question everything and do genuine research are generally more receptive to the truth when they come to it, says James Reed. Yeah, it seems that way, James. Absolutely. I did not grow up in a church, but what changed my view on the Bible was learning about firmament and little season. Now I have given all my beliefs into the Bible and Jesus. That's right. When our identity is in Christ, then we are the light. That's right, Peter. Half-truths. Love your perspective, Paul. Really hope someday I can have a personal conversation with you. Well, half-truths, I do call-in shows every now and then, once in a blue moon. If you time it just right, maybe you can be a call-in guest and we can have a conversation live on air. Not a problem. I finally making progress with chemtrails and my friends and family after years, says Brent C. That's a tough sell, that one, isn't it? Yeah, that's a really hard one. And it's a scary one as well. Who wants to believe that, honestly? That's a scary... It's scarier than you think, that conspiracy. Like, it's one of those ones that takes a long time to sink in, and then you realise, like, how am I going to convince people of this one? Because even if I do convince them of this one, what if I taught them that everything's terrible and we're being poisoned and the very air we breathe is dangerous? Like, that's terrifying. So yeah, that's a hard sell. All power to you, man. Where can we write to tell you about personal experiences of what I believe to be demonic gang stalking and spiritual experiences? I think they're always useful to stay strong. Well, Jensen Delta, you can always email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. You can send me anything you want there. So yeah, anything else, guys? Any other questions? Throw them at me. I've got 10, maybe 15 minutes left, give or take. Keep going for a little bit longer. We're almost at the 1 hour mark. I'm at 51 minutes for me here. I'm just spilling water all over myself like a savage. It's boiling. Is it hot in England today? 28 degrees Celsius. For England, that's pretty impressive. That's like damn impressive, in fact. And I felt it today. I've even put shorts on. I don't wear shorts. I'm wearing shorts right now, guys. It's I don't like getting my pasty legs out, you know. But I've been forced by the sun itself to give in and make it happen. You are one of the few people who knows about the dangers of Gnosticism and how they infiltrated the truth movement, says Emmanuel. Yeah, man, that one was personal to me, you know, because I joined the YouTube conspiracy game in 2014 with the channel, you know, and I very much went down the Christian route. And then it was like, you had liberal groups like Anonymous out there, Expect Us, you know, We Are Legion, and they were very much a very new agey type belief system. And then there was always like the cheesy new age stuff was around about orgone energy and chakra alignments and serpentine energies and the kundalini stuff and the sacred geometry. Spirit science was big on YouTube at that time. Zeitgeist was like topping the charts on Netflix. You know, it's kind of, and that was like Gnosticism light. You know, that was Luciferian.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Luciferianism with a colorful paint job, you know. And then we were fighting back a lot. There was a big Christian presence in the truth movement fighting back against that nonsense with a G, you know. And they didn't really gain a foothold. They were ridiculed a lot, you know, and it's kind of because it's all woo and nonsense and crazy stuff, you know. And though they had said they knew a lot of truths about the nature of reality and frequency and cymatics and geometry and stuff, a lot of it always came with, and we are God collectively, and we are all our need to ascend our consciousness to the fifth dimension. All that nonsense got piled onto it, which is, again, it's just ye shall be as God's serpent in the Garden of Eden, Luciferianism again. And they were being called out a lot then, in those early days. And then I went away in 2018. I went off YouTube for 5 years. I came back at the start of 2023 because I got forced to come off of YouTube because my workplace found my channel and said I can't be a manager and have the YouTube channel. I've told the story 1,000 times. So I had to take 5 years away and making nothing and just watching. And I kind of was out of the game for a while. Stopped watching for a little bit, but it was always pulling me back in, you know. And I got revived when my Nephilim Look Like Clowns idea came back into the public mind, thanks to Conspiracy Auras talking about my work and telling people that this guy used to be on YouTube, he used to talk about this. It was crazy. And then I said, okay, well, I'll come back then, you know, I'll release my videos again. And the heat's died off me now by that point, you know. And then a couple of years later, I came back to YouTube and picked up where I left off, and I came back into the game. I was like, where's all the Christians? Where are the Christian truthers? They're not here. Some of them are dead, even. Like Rob Skiba, you know, was one of them. And there's quite a few people who died that year, you know. And a lot of channels have been nuked and disappeared or moved off the platform and weren't around. And every truther channel I came across was Gnostic to the core. They were just Gnostics through and through, and they changed the mask. It wasn't like the colorful hippy dippy type stuff anymore, Luciferianism anymore. It was demiurge, Enochian wisdom, hermetic science, alchemical principle, I'm a smart wizard type, like, you know. And Luciferianism instead, like the kids had grown up to be edgelord teenagers now, and that's how they were doing Luciferianism now, with robes and hoods and making homunculi, you know, that type of stuff. They were getting a bit more like darker with it, you know. But they were just Gnostics everywhere. Everyone's a Gnostic now. All the truth is just, it's just Gnosticism, just pure Gnosticism. And the Christian voice had died, and I was like, no, that can't be it, we can't go out like that. So I started ripping into the Gnostics and how cringe they are repeatedly. And I still say today, it's not a good look, man. You're way out. You've lost it. And you cringe as hell. Shut up. Like, get over it. Move on. Get to the truth. It's Christ. It's real. It's not a feeling. It's not something within. It's not a consciousness. It's not some kind of oil that runs up the spine or something. It's not some ethereal concept of collective humanity. No, Christ is a separate real entity, is the Son of God. Come, and he rose from the dead and paid the price for our sins. It's that simple. And he is the King. He is King. He came, he established a kingdom. He's sovereign, man. He won. He conquered death. He was real. Not an idea. Not some thing made up by the Byzantine Empire to fool everybody into conforming to their... It's none of that crap, okay? It's all just made up bullshit that people come up with to discredit Jesus to be who he actually is. Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, after Christ. It's simple. Yeah, he is the one. It happened. It's real. And they wanna mystify him. You know? And that's just not the case. And the sad thing is they can simply just ask. And they'll receive. They can ask to have a relationship with him, and he'll reveal himself to them. It's real. It's tangible. It's and it has real world effects. You know what I mean? And it's and just this whole this infestation of this parasitic worldview of Gnosticism is just permeated the truth of culture now. And the Gnosticism is a horrible mimic. It can glom itself onto any belief system. There are Gnostic Muslims called the Sufis, you know what I mean? There are Gnostic sects within all major religions, and Christianity has their Gnostic sect too. And it always comes full circle back to flesh bad, world bad, physical bodies bad, spirit good, need to escape flesh, prison planet, flesh is a prison, God is evil for making us this way, we need to become our own gods. It's always, and there's many ways they kind of say these things, and they're like communists. It's like you try and define Gnosticism and they're like, nah, that's not real Gnosticism, man, you don't know what you're talking about, you're an idiot. you can never win. They're always moving the goalpost everywhere, and it's kind of, no, you're not that deep. Your worldview isn't that complex, okay? It's bullshit, is what it is. And then they're like, where's your facts and your arguments? I just hear emotional nonsense here. And it's kind of like, shut up. Just shut up. Shut up and go and talk to Jesus. You need to. It's simple. Anyway, there you go. That's my rant. I know that's not very wholesome or conducive. And perhaps it's not as godly as it should be in a way. But they get under my skin. They're so pretentious. They're just... ugh, cringy, you know what I mean? You can't talk to these people. They think they're so brilliant. They think they're wizards. They literally think they're like alchemical wizards who know so much super big brain knowledge that they're going to transcend out of this reality, and like with the weight of the demiurge knowledge on them. And if only Sophia and her wisdom could. they're just all about, you know, I don't know. They're just insufferable. They are insufferable, and I hope to make them realize that they're that. I'm gonna keep talking derogatory towards them until they snap out of their edgelord cringe. That's all I can say. I know that's not much of a tip, it's certainly something I feel passionate about. There we go. Did you look into that Invention Secrecy Act stuff I sent you last week? If not, no worries. I just think it's helpful when talking to people about the Dunning-Kruger effect stuff. I did get your email, and I actually referenced it in the next talk I'm having on my new channel, Understanding Creativity with Susan Faraday. And we actually talk about that. We talk about the email you sent me. So that does come up, Red Host. Yeah, and it's you'll see why if you watch on my other channel when I release that talk. It's coming soon, maybe the next couple of weeks. Lucifer is the original narcissist, that's right. it was a time and a place. YouTube 28 to 2012 was very different. So much conspiracy stuff you can't find anymore. I know, right, Anthony? It was a wild west. It was a good time all around. I had fun in that era. You know, I wish there was a way we could know we were in the good old days when we were in the good old days. You take it all for granted when you're in it, you know. My truth of therapy is gardening, says Brent C. Well, that's good to hear. We all need something. Narcissism, yeah. Preach, Paul, says Paul. Was that preaching? I don't know if that was preaching. I don't know. I don't know what that was. Yeah, Rush, Dizdar and Skiba, yeah, both of them gone. Jesus is the guy. He is. He is, to quote Connor there from The Call of Con. Gnostic means wise guy, says here now. I don't know. It means knowledge. It means gnosis. It's just so full of themselves, honestly. Well, I have this special gnosis. It puts me a step above everybody else. All these idiots around me don't even see what I see. Who do they think? It's that kind of attitude, you know? And it's like, they're like truthers, but like really uppity, secretive, narcissistic truthers who think they're better than everybody else. Honestly, that's the impression I get from everyone. All the Gnostics I meet and the comments I get from them. And they'll all say, no, you. Like, whatever, bro. Nah. I don't think I'm a god. Okay, that's the difference. Funny that you said Gnostics are like communists, because there is actually a connection, because both of them are heavily influenced by Hegel. Absolutely, Emmanuel, you're right. You're right. I actually did a full breakdown of Gnosticism. I had Lloyd DeLong come on, who's he's not like a conspiracy theorist Christian, but he really hates Gnosticism. So he does these presentations all the time, just talking about where it comes from and how utterly false and rooted in nonsense it is. And I got him on to do it on my channel. It was a good talk. You can go find it on the channel somewhere. So many people that follow those isms fail to realize that their material dialectics are just another rebrand of Gnostic principles. That's right, Anthony. Yeah, it sounds like you might know a thing or two about this as well. I love these Tips for Truth videos. Continue doing them often, says Joe. I will. Like I said, today's just a bit different, guys, because I didn't have a chance to do my usual Friday version of this. There will be another just standard me talking for 20 minutes tip coming up next Friday. But like I said, while I'm in the middle of this car situation, we'll call it, there's a bit of time where I'm going to be all over the place just trying to figure stuff out, you know, and go see cars and it's just stupid stuff like that, you know. It happens. Life gets in the way. And obviously, well, I've got a toddler and a six-month-old. It's a balancing act. And I've got to get sleep somewhere in between, you know. And also, like I said, I've almost finished the audiobook, which I'm excited about. I've been putting a bit of extra time into that and taking away from this channel. And also, I've been putting more time into the new channel, Understanding Creativity. And it's kind of, you might see a slight slowing down on this one, but the time is being put into the other. So there's still content being made over there. So go subscribe to Understanding Creativity if you haven't already. And there's plenty of good stuff on there. Good stuff. Go check it out. But yeah, you know, this Tips for Truth is a live version. I think it's gone maybe a little bit off the rails here and there, but who doesn't like a good tangent? We live for the tangents here in the conspiracy world. That's how we find out things, isn't it? Homunculi wizards, says Fox. That's exactly what they are, isn't it? Yeah. What's going on here? They have knowledge, but it's incorrect. Can you recommend where the Bible to start and trying to become a Christian? Yeah, read the basic synoptic gospels. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke. You can't go wrong. just read the basic gospels first. And then you can go back and get all the historical context for why Jesus is the Messiah afterwards. I just think it's easier. I really do. I started with John originally, and it's a good one. It's a good one, I would say. There's actually a great audiobook reading of John. I can't remember his name now, but it's this old guy. And he just literally sits there in a church. And he has, I think it's an NIV he's reading, you know, but you can start getting into all the alternative translations just later. As a basic introduction, NIV's fine, whatever, just get the gospel, whatever it is. And then afterwards go into all the nuances of the different interpretations and translations and so forth. Don't get bogged down in that stuff yet. You don't need that yet. Just get the basic gospels down, all right? And I would say David Suchet is his name. And he literally sits there and reads all of John in one sitting without making a single mistake in his diction. It's very impressive. He's on camera doing it in this beautiful church and this old Bible he's got. So I'd recommend that. Audiobook's good just to get the story down, but reading the paper is really good too, because you can make notes, you can highlight what you need to about, you can get your favorite passages down and so forth. So that's handy. But there are many ways to get to know the Word of God. It's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. Good for you for starting your journey. If you're a new Christian, I'd say just get the basic gospels down. Okay, just start there. Start with the Savior. Start with what it's all been about. It's been about Jesus this entire time, and you'll find it's evident throughout the Old Testament after you realize what Christ came and did. You know, all the prophecies will start to make a lot more sense. It contextualizes everything perfectly. So I'd recommend doing that if I was you. When a person expresses an interest in conspiracy theories, what in your experience is the best first place to start? FE, Little Season, other, with a focus on getting them to the gospel. Well, when someone says they express interest in conspiracy theories, you need to get them to define the terms. Because I found what some people consider a conspiracy theory may not be anywhere close to what we consider conspiracy theories. There are different levels. I think that one of my tips of truth is coming up. There's a difference between conspiracy research and conspiratainment. Okay, and I'll define that maybe in the next video to answer your question more thoroughly. But I would say first ask them, what do you mean by conspiracy theories? Play dumb. And let's just see what they've actually looked into first, right? Okay. Trust me. That's what I'd say. Check that out. Get that first. Because it might be they're not actually anywhere close to listening to anything you have to say on any of those subjects. And you may not even be, it may just not be simply be worth it. So there you go. I hope that helps. you're doing great, man. Keep on going. Thanks, I will. Amen, bruv. I agree. John is a great place to start. Anyone jump the Jeep over the like button? Yeah, make sure to hit that like, guys. Comment, subscribe if you haven't already. All the usual YouTube nonsense. I'll say it all now. But yeah, I'm going to have to get going, guys. It's getting late for me. I'm going on for over an hour. It's 22:00 midnight. If you've liked this live Tips of Truthers, let me know. If there's something maybe I can do more often, maybe I can, maybe I can't. I don't really know. I tend to like to do these more as a closed one particular tip. This is a free-for-all. As you've heard, it's just a bit of fun, something different. I thought I'd try it. If you guys do want to help me or support me in any way, you can always buy yourself a copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns. So you can see it right here. Get yours on Amazon. Or if you want a signed copy, email me personally at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and we can get that arranged for you. Okay, just I'll tell you the price and you get it all sorted and we can get it out to you as soon as possible. And I have a new batch of books turning up tomorrow. And about four or five of them are already spoken for, but there are quite a few left. I think I ordered like 12 of them or something like that, like 6 hardcovers, 5 paperbacks, and I've got a paperback here already. So if you want to get on the next shipment, because I'm going to send them out on the 23rd, email me and maybe you can get on that next batch that I'm going to be sending out. So there we go, guys. And that's the best way to support me. And also, you can always be a member of Patreon. There's some extra stuff on there, which you won't find on YouTube. And I'll be posting some more things on there coming up soon. Many of the talks I'm doing on the Understanding Creativity channel get premiered there first. There's one on there right now, which I'm working on. The raw footage of the next occult artist set, talking about Georgia O'Keeffe and the links to Oppenheimer and the atomic bomb as well. Really interesting talk, fascinating. Went down some really interesting warrens. So that's on there as well. You won't find it anywhere else right now, but on Patreon. So go check that out, guys, if you haven't already. I'm going to end this here. I hope this Tips for Truthers has done something for you. I really do. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.